Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
FM 104's Select Irish with Louise Ty.
FM 104's Select Irish, and every week we chat to an Irish about the first gig they ever went to. This week I'm chatting to 1000 Beasts. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good. So what was your first gig you ever went to?
The first gig I ever went to was, you've caught me out now actually, because I thought it was something else, but I'm trying to think. There was a band came to our secondary school and they were called Fred. They're a really famous Cork band, but they don't exist anymore. But I would put them on the level of Frank and Walters for their cult classics. And I think they came to us when we were in first year and I had just gotten my first electric guitar, and they played a gig in the school hall and they caused absolute chaos. It was mental. I'll never forget it. It was probably about 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. It was one of the best gigs I ever was at in my life, probably because it was the first time I'd seen a band in the flesh rip it up. My first proper gig was Red Hot Chili Peppers, probably a year or two after that. And I mean, that was brilliant as well. But that Fred gig always stays with me because I think it was the first time, you know, you're two or three rows, like the whole school was at it, so there's 500 people at it, but you're two or three rows in the front row. And I think I still have the CD somewhere. They sold a load of CDs that day to all of us anyway.
That's a really cool thing to have come to your school. I don't think I ever had anything like that.
Yeah, I think he was a past pupil, and our school placed a good bit of emphasis on the arts. I remember we had an English teacher at the time and she was still in contact with him. And as well as that, I think probably like this was pre-internet. I'm old now, so this was like probably 2004, 2005. So this was a way for people to make fans as well. Yeah. You know, you come around and like if you play in the secondary schools now, I was young, but like the older students would have been there and then they would have come to your gigs. If you do 10 secondary schools, that's 5,000 people you get in front of. And then, you know, you're going to get fans. I still talk about them like so. There you
go. Yeah. And there's literally nothing better than getting time off school.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever.
When they're like, okay, we're going to go to the hall. You're like, yes.
This was a big moment
simple
when you go
things.
To the hall. All right, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, simple things. Yeah. But you did mention...
Robbie Keane's goal when he banged that one in Saipan as well, or not in Saipan, but over in Japan, we all were in the hall for that one as well. That was a big one. Yeah, never
See,
forget
big
that.
Big moments in the hall for sure. But you mentioned that you got electric guitar around the same time. Had you kind of started playing music then at that point?
I had been playing music forever. My mum was a music teacher, so she taught me how to play piano. Well, actually, she didn't. Someone else taught me, but she forced me to play piano when I was a kid, and I hated it, and fair play to her for making me stick with it, because it wasn't until about the age of 9 or 10 that I actually ran with it. Before that, I had no interest. Mm-hmm. But then I started playing the piano. I did all the grades and all that, but it was when I got to secondary school, I met a drummer who sat next to me. His name was Kian O'Sullivan, who I'm still great friends with to this day. He's actually the drummer in 1000 Beasts still. And we sat next to each other in the first day of secondary school. And his grandfather is a guy called Mick Crowley, who's famous in Cork for being the guy that owns Cork's big music store, Crowley's. He sold Rory Gallagher's first guitar. So Kian is proper musical pedigree, musical heritage. And Kian just influenced me so much. He kind of introduced me to all these amazing bands and loads of music I never heard of. And Kian was a drummer and he knew I played the piano, but sure, within about 3 weeks he was like, you should get a guitar, we should start the band. So straight into Crowley's, got my first square guitar, Fender Square, and then we were jamming ever since. That's pretty much it.
Oh, excellent. Do you remember your own first gig then?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, we did a little community. So there was a youth project in the Glanmire where I'm from, and basically what they had was a house of rock. So every Tuesday they took over the GA clubhouse and we were allowed practice in there, and they used to have amps and whatever, and we put on a community gig in the community school. And I can't sing. I was never able to sing, but we were in this band, me, Kian, and a guy called Aaron Cronin. It was our first band called Killer Instinct, and we had to play in a... the school hall basically to whatever 200 people, and I was about 13 years old and I was meant to sing, and I completely shat the brick, and instead of singing into the microphone, I'd say I stood about a foot behind the microphone, miles away from it, so nobody could hear me sing and pretended to sing. It's brilliant. So that was the start of it. I'll never forget. I was very young. I was 13 or whatever, but I couldn't sing at all. I was playing guitar and singing. And then that was it. After that, then I was like, all right, I'm not a singer.
But I love that you got back up again.
But this is the thing. This is like, I'll never have nerves on stage when I'm not, like, I never had nerves on stage yet.
Amazing.
It's just I can't sing. But I think that's the thing though. If you're not, like, if you're an instrumentalist, I feel I'm very calm on stage normally because I'm just so comfortable playing my instrument. Mm. I would never panic. Whereas I can understand why people who are lead singers and they have to perform, I can understand why they get nervous, definitely, because they're the front person, you know. Mm-hmm. When you're a session musician, and I've been lucky to play with lots of different people, you're just like, you completely go into your own world up there. It's like you're jamming in your living room or you're jamming in your music room. Like, you forget everybody's there.
Have you a favorite memory from the gigs you've done?
All the gigs I've done. Like, I mean, the Thousand Beasts one, like, we did the St. Luke's one, which was a huge highlight for the Cork Jazz Festival last October, and it was sold out. We did it with Fizzy Orange and we did it with Papa Romeo, and it was amazing. I mean, I always wanted to take Thousand Beasts up to St. Luke's, and the guys up there were very welcoming for us to do it. But the fact that we sold it out on the Friday night of the Jazz Fest, it was just an electric night. That was one of the highlights. Another highlight for Thousand Beasts was the Body and Soul gig, not last summer, the summer before that, where they put us on the Bulmer stage, and it was perfect. It was like 11 o'clock on the Friday or the Saturday, I can't remember, but the moment we started playing, there was loads of people came over, and it was just really nice. And those are like the lovely serendipitous moments where you kind of work so hard to develop something and it all just comes together at the right time. It's like the right music, the right band, the right gig at the right place. They're always the ones that you look back on and you're like, oh, that's amazing. And I think it's because they only happen every so often that they feel so nice as well, you know,
that everything kind of fully aligns together.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of Irish musicians, or musicians in general, always chase, and that's why we work so hard. It's for those lovely moments when you do have those moments and you can kind of look back and go, wow, that was amazing. And they're so ephemeral. Like, they're fleeting. It might be half an hour, 45 minutes, and it's a feeling. You can't bottle that feeling, you know. That's an old cliche. If you could bottle that feeling, you'd make a fortune, but you can't. It's just, it happens and you roll with it. And then the next day you're like, God, that was amazing. How do I get that back now again?
Yeah. And then you go again.
Yeah. You struggle away then for another 9 months till the next one.
But you were talking about putting all the work in, and you've just released a new album, Burning Flower. How long has this been in the works for you?
Neruda came out, the first album came out in 2022, so April 2022, 2 years ago now, basically. And when I finished working on Neruda, I just kept going, and Burning Flower was basically made 6 to 9 months after that. Right. Like, in a way, like, the oldest song is actually the feature track now, They Called Her Something, which was definitely done during the lockdown. I remember doing that probably not a lot. We were in the height of lockdown then, so I'm going to say that was 2020. But it was just, there was so many songs and ideas I had running around. And the way I worked was I made a load of different beats and then sent them to people I wanted to collaborate with. And when I came to, I had to draw a line somewhere to get the Neruda album out. And I still had a load of tracks and ideas left over and I had a load of people to collaborate with. So I just kind of kept going. And it was done. So like, the album was pretty much finished in 2023. Like, there was a few little bits and stuff to finish off. But like, there's a track there with Rachel Mahanan that was done definitely in 2022, I would imagine. It's been finished for a while, like at least 15 months.
What is it like to have to sit on it for a little while before you can release it?
It's a bit crap, to be honest. Yeah, not great. You have to try and keep yourself excited because this is the thing about musicians, and this is the thing that always amazes me about musicians like you two or musicians that have been around for such a long time, is how they can stay so consistent, because I find my tastes and style changes so quickly. Like, every 12 months, I feel like I'm always evolving. And the music industry kind of demands that you kind of are front loaded and you have music ready to go at all times, because everybody's waiting to see what you're going to do next. And you definitely shouldn't be thinking like that. It's a kind of a bad mindset. You should probably allow yourself to release something that feels right to you at that time and then kind of enjoy it, I suppose.
And with the Thousand Beasts, you're able to team up with loads of people, do collaborations. Is there anything you've learned about yourself since starting it?
Learned about myself? Sometimes I'm probably too soft, I think, which is interesting. I know I haven't changed that because I still think it's a great trait to be very soft. But when Thousand Bees started initially, like I am a freelance producer. I produce music for loads of amazing Irish artists as well. And when I'm in that role, I'm subservient to the artist I'm working with. So I am there to help them with their vision. Now, I do challenge them and give them my opinions and stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm helping them achieve their sound and their vision. And I think sometimes when it comes to Thousand Beasts is a different beast because that's my artistic vision. And if I'm collaborating with certain artists, particularly at the start, their sound would have come through more. And I think it was very important, and it is very important for the Thousand Beast thing to have a very specific sound. I definitely have gotten better at that as time has gone by. But just kind of saying, you know, sometimes you're working on a track with someone and it just goes the wrong direction. And to be like, look, this is a great track, but it's probably not Thousand Beasts. We might need to park this and try something else. And a lot of time I'll do this with artists. And this is the beautiful thing about making beats is I might make 5-6 beats, instrumental things. And I might have someone I want to work with and I'll send them to them. And I will say to them, I was like, have a listen to 5 or 6 of these. If something tickles your fancy, great. If nothing tickles your fancy, there is no pressure. I will hit you up again in another few months with some more ideas and we can see if something works then. Nice. And that's a really nice way of working.
100%. So people need to check out the new album, Burning Flower. How can they keep up to date with everything you're doing?
Everything is on the usual places. Instagram, TikTok, you name it. Instagram's probably the best, to be honest. We also have a website. So it's all just 1000beasts.com or at 1000beasts, but it's 1000beasts. Not beats. Everybody always goes 1000 beats. The amount of people that have said 1000 beats, but it's 1000 beasts because the beasts are the people I collaborate with. That's what you got to tell everybody. So there you go.
Excellent. 1000 beasts. Thank you so much for chatting to me.
Thanks a million.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.